It's September 27th, 2012. This is the Hell Yeah Show. Hello and welcome to the Hell Yeah Show. I'm Alan.
I'm Emery.
And we are bringing you best practices for fine living, advice on how to not let technology ruin your day. Emery.
I want to thank you for your patience. It's been a very long month and a half for me with my iCloud account.
So this phrase you told
this
me
is something I've heard quite a bit. There is a
highly skilled, well trained technician. You're not technician, but help support.
He's an AppleCare engineer. Yeah,
Apple
he's
Care
like
engineer.
First of all, Apple support is universally awesome in my experience. I've never had a negative experience with them.
All right,
but this guy, Edric, he's in Texas. He's in Austin. At least all the numbers that he calls from are in Austin.
You don't know. It's
fantastic.
Not like you've been to his house.
No.
It's not like you've followed his car home or anything.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
He's, you know, I've never loaned him money.
Yep.
But yeah, this he's amazing, and I can't say enough nice things about him, mainly because he might listen. But but what's been going on is, like, there was, I think it's been like a month and a half where my iCloud account was not synchronizing correctly. Like, there's a, if people don't know this, like, there was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there was a service called MobileMe, and it was really bad. And it was very difficult to use, and it didn't really work that well. And they transformed it into iCloud, which has steadily gotten better. There's a lot of things that other offerings do some execute a little bit better on, like, you know, Google Docs, for example, is the obvious thing, or Dropbox, but iCloud does a lot more than offer a folder or things like that. There's a lot of other glue that it can do for people that decide to use
well,
it.
Well, including integrate pretty directly with iOS devices.
Yes, in particular. Yeah. There's a lot of really cool stuff. And but at some point, somehow, something got corrupted in my document storage space for my iCloud account. And so any system or device attempting to use my iCloud account would generate a bunch of error messages because, and I don't know, without getting into like the really nitty gritty neckbeard specific, it's pretty crazy, but basically there's something in there like gumming up the works. There's a log jam, if you will. And that log jam is causing some problems. So I've been using an alternate iCloud account. But my man Edric, he's been escalating all this back up to engineering, and we've been going through like the troubleshooting stuff, and he's been really great. And he tolerates the fact that I think I know what I'm talking about. So, like, the best part really is that, you know, it's entirely possible that he's just like humoring me, like, "Oh yeah, Mr. Lumberg, that's a really good idea." You know, like, maybe you're really onto something. And it's possible that he might just be like, you know, really rolling his eyes.
One of the things I loved about Sonic.net,
yeah,
the ISP, yeah, is whenever I would call them up for support, they would at least humor me in...
Well, I know they have, like, special training where they know, or they've got things they're not supposed to say, or they want to make sure that, you know what I mean? Like, they've got all, like, call control training that they do. I mean, anyone that works in phone support does that.
Well, not Sonic.
To some extent.
No,
well,
it's not...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they genuinely just are naturally really good at talking to people on the phone. Because that's not a special skill.
So I mean, with Sonic.net,
this is the first time with video, so you can watch me actually roll my eyes at you now.
Okay, with Sonic.net, whenever I would call them up, the conversation would eventually get to the point where we were either A, talking about something not at all related to the problem I was having.
Same thing here.
Or B, like, having a very clear, like, we are just people talking on a phone conversation, not a you are a trained tech support individual conversation.
Yeah, now, that's all well and good, but Sonic.net has nothing on Edric, and here's why. Because I get the feeling that, you know, when it goes and gets handed back to engineering, because essentially here's what happens in any support organization, right? Like, the more senior, more technical tier back-end engineering folk, they don't like to talk to anybody. So I am almost certain that, like, anytime something gets escalated to them, that their initial response is, Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I, in my head, here's what I'm picturing, is that I'm picturing Edric's got like a clipboard. And he's got, like, you know, 18,000 pages of notes that he's been taking while I'm talking incessantly over the course of our phone calls. And he's, like, standing in front of someone in engineering, like, no, Mr. Lundberg says that he's got, you know, he already tried that, and this, and, you know, we've already done these steps. And that's at least what I picture in my head. Maybe it's not quite that dramatic. But long story short, though, is that we made some headway. It's not totally resolved yet, but I think we've seen what the root cause is. So that's good.
Cool.
I think the upside to this is one of the first times that I've found something like this with an Apple service or product. So I'm kind of, he keeps saying, like, you know, I really appreciate your patience and I want to thank you for being so understanding. But, you know, really for me, it's like, I don't know, like it's, I have another iCloud account. It's not the account that I use for purchases. It's like my user account, right? So I'm not really feeling especially put out to begin with. And I'm kind of interested in this issue because it's so weird.
Mm-hmm. So you're really like the ideal tech support caller. You're interested in spending a lot of time on the phone diagnosing your problem.
That's true.
And you are in a rather good mood and a positive state regarding your problem.
That is entirely possible.
Yeah.
That's so you might be on to something,
really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm a charmer.
Yep.
And I'm definitely I can be either a complete raving lunatic to people on the phone, or I can be sweetness and light. So hopefully I'm being sweetness and light.
All right.
But the
very good.
And like my personality lately too has been like somewhat adjusted because you might not know this, but I have a slight attention deficit, just ever so slight. But I've been kind of like changing my medication for that a little bit lately, so I'm definitely more aware of it sometimes than others. And most medication that they give for this condition, a lot of it is like these stimulant meds, right?
Mm.
So. The problem with attention deficit disorder is that you have a really hard time focus. Actually, that just about anything can become absolutely fascinating. So it's not that you can't focus on things.
That seems like the opposite of what you would want, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah. So instead of like, it's not that you have a hard time focusing on one single thing, because you can. You just can't always control what that one thing is.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So they give you these medications, and they do help with that a lot by letting you kind of like orient yourself and aim yourself at the things that you want to be really attentive about. But they also have the side effect that in a lot of cases you can very easily end up in a situation where you will be obsessively interested in something. So there was a time like last weekend I was working on something on my computer, and then I realized that I just spent like 2.5 hours like organizing folder icons in like in a file system.
Great.
So yeah. I mean, I felt productive. It was, you know, to be honest, it was iPhoto. It was like, you know, iPhoto albums, but I wound up like something like that. I will inevitably, if I'm not like really mindful of it, I will end up hours doing something like that.
I remember the time when I decided to organize all of my physical media in Delicious Library.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, and then went like several hours. Like, this was a multi-hour project. Everything was, I got like cover art for everything. It was all beautifully in Delicious Library. And then I never opened the application again.
You want to know what's wrong with Delicious Library?
What?
This is the one thing that I don't like about it, is that the barcode scanner thing is really unreliable.
I've
had really bad luck with it.
Huh.
I don't know why, but like I have so as I've been trying to get rid of DVDs, we talked about this like last year on the show.
Yeah.
In season one. As I've been kind of like archiving some of that
previously
stuff.
Previously on the Hell Yeah.
I've been encoding some of those movies that I still watch pretty frequently. And then chucking the media into a big box. And then I have these bins. And then I have those DVDs, as I dump them, are getting put into Delicious Library. And then I put the boxes and the discs in these bins and then shove them in the garage. So I can at least find what bin they're in. Because on a couple of occasions now, someone said, hey, can I borrow X, Y, or Z. And then I say, oh, you know, sure, one moment. And I go into Delicious Library and I see what bin it's in and I go get it. And then I make a little note. So I love that. But I haven't bitten the bullet and like done everything wholesale just because it's such a tedious process for me due to this barcode scanner thing. Maybe I just need...
Well, you know what you need to do is get one of their wireless barcode scanners.
Ah, see, screw that, because those are like $200 or whatever, and then I have a QCAT. I have a QCAT.
Wait, what's a QCAT?
It's a USB barcode scanner.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Then you should be fine.
Yeah, but it doesn't work very well.
Huh.
It's really weird. And then there was like that whole brouhaha where like Delicious Library got punted off Amazon for some stupid reason.
I didn't know about that. Huh.
Yeah, they used to do like an Amazon lookup for everything automatically, but then... they had to turn that off or something because Amazon got pissed. But then I was wondering, like, why don't they just make people get their own Amazon API key and then do it that way? I think they were all trying to use, like, one ID for it so they could do a referral code, which is kind of shady because I'm like, I paid $40 for an application so that I can continue to generate revenue for you. Like, that's not happening.
Right. Yeah.
So if they wanted
to... That is not cheap software. I mean...
You know, no, like, it was expensive. And, like, seriously, do you feel burnt from buying it now? Because if you don't use it right now, it's like, that was like $50, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So,
but you know, it's good software. I'm not, you know, I guess I don't.
It's well designed. It's well, well written.
I don't know about well designed, but the user interface is great.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what I mean by well designed. I mean, well designed in.
I think under the hood, it might actually be kind of rickety.
Like, oh, I'm sure.
I get the impression sometimes it's not really the most reliable thing I've ever used, but
yeah. Anyway, okay. Well, speaking of ADD, the next thing on the list here is Sopranos. unless you've got anything else on this,
let's go ride bikes. Yeah.
Wait, bikes.
It's like typical ADD thing.
Yeah,
like,
let's talk about clowns.
How many people with ADD does it take to put in a light bulb? And then you say, let's go ride bikes. So I've been watching a lot of, television lately. In particular, The Sopranos. And I don't remember what it was that like sparked my interest in watching that show again. But I think it's because of the show that, like, in a few months I won't be able to watch because my daughter will start to, like, ask questions about the Bada Bing that I don't want to have to answer. So, So there's a possibility that was kind of the reason for it. But
So you've got a lot of stuff you need to watch in the next few months.
Wait. Most of it pornography. No, the Sopranos, I'm already up to season 6. I'm already in the last season now, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I got partway through season 1, but I was getting individual discs from Netflix. I was getting like, you know, the DVD set discs.
It's not on
Netflix.
It's not online, is it?
No. So I was getting these discs like one DVD at a time, and it's just like how long am I willing to devote my entire Netflix queue to Sopranos discs, you know, and like
I've got them all.
Myself to watching the entire series. So I just kind of stopped after a few discs.
My PlayStation's been getting a workout because I've been playing the DVDs, and it's definitely been pretty entertaining. But this last season is a real head scratcher so far. I don't remember, like, well, it's been so long since I've seen it, and like there were so many plot lines that I thought were like way late in the show that actually were very early. Like there were things that I thought were going to happen really soon that didn't happen at all until later, and it's very weird how my memory of that show is somewhat distorted.
So, and you are, how much do you know about the ending?
Well, I've seen it.
Oh, okay. So you've, you mean you've got all the way through the last season?
Yeah. I've watched the show. I watched the show in real time. Like when it was on the air, I watched the show. I was a fan of the show.
This is a rewatch.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is a front to back rewatch.
Got it. Okay. Huh. So you're picking, that's what you're saying. You're picking up, or you're seeing things in different places than you expected to see them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And my wife, I don't think she ever watched it at all.
Hmm.
But yeah, I think
cool. All right, other TV?
So what else am I watching? Oh, the new season of Boss, the Kelsey Grammer Mayor of Chicago show.
I've been meaning to watch that because Kelsey Grammer is an awesome person.
This show is so good. Like he is absolutely amazing. And I realize that like he's kind of his politics are, you know, he's trying to like really dig in on the Chicago thing. So I can appreciate that, but, it's still a fantastic show and there's some really, really amazing moments. And sometimes you'll find yourself like, you know, I think in the very first episode of the show, there's a scene where he's like, dragging an alderman around his office by the ear. And I was like, Frasier, no, what are you doing? And it's just, it's really weird. Sometimes you find yourself, like, you know, forgetting what you're watching.
Right.
But yeah, it's an outstanding show. I really like it a lot. And I started watching Storage Wars Texas just because the Texas one's not too bad, but there's a couple of dudes on Storage Wars Texas that I hate. And one of them is like
couple? I mean, I think there's like one person on Storage Wars Texas I do not hate.
Oh, really? Well, I like the Dr. Mo or whatever, and I like his friend Mary, and then I like the new gal that does furniture stuff. I think she's pretty cool.
I did not know that the character suite of Storage Wars Texas had expanded.
Yeah, and then you have, well, I don't know if it's expanded, but and then you have like the two hillbillies, and they're pretty funny.
Right, right.
And they're very, what I like about those two guys, so there's these two dudes who are like absolutely stereotypical country bumpkins, right?
Yeah.
But they really like play into that, and they're very, they have a sense of humor about themselves that you do not expect necessarily.
Yeah,
and then one of the new guys on the show this season, and on the Texas show, I think, is like a professional football player or something.
Oh dear! Wow! Huh?
Yeah, and he's actually been spending time with
those guys. Long until we get Celebrity Storage Wars?
I don't know. That's not a bad idea, though. I think you should pitch that.
I think so too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
How does Storage Wars start? How's the intro go?
You know, I don't know. It's
like when storage units go up for
auction. No. When storage units aren't abandoned, the contents go up for auction. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. And some of these are there to, to buy them up.
On the original flavor, though, I love Barry. Barry is my favorite character.
Barry
on the other
is the best. Barry is, because Barry is doing for the love of it.
But I also like Brandy and Jared.
They're all right.
I heard Dave Hester is not going to be on the next season.
Dave Hester got into some very tense contract negotiations or something like that, where he asked for way more money than anyone is ever going to pay him.
that doesn't surprise me.
No, not at all. He's. I think maybe his time on the show is done.
I think he's hilarious, but he's also like a colossal dick.
Oh, totally, totally. I would not put it past him to start some sort of spin-off show. Even if it's like an online only show or something. Him thinking that he is Storage Wars, right? And thinking like, well, if I'm not going to be on the show, then the show will be nothing. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure that show can do just fine without him. I'm not like, and again, this is like a genre of TV that I really don't get into. I shouldn't say that because there's actually several shows that I get into.
What about, are you into the American Pickers?
No.
Okay. Are you into the Pawn Stars?
No.
All right. Are you into, what else is in
I like Interior Therapy with Jeff Lewis.
Oh, wait, he's got a new show?
It's good.
Because he used to be on,
Flipping Out.
Flipping Out. Yeah.
Yeah. I never watched all of Flipping Out, but I watched a few episodes of it after I saw his new show.
Right, yeah. Huh.
But I thought that was pretty good. And he's interesting and funny, which is really all I'm looking for. But then I like The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, boy.
That show is a total train wreck. And then there's another train wreck show. What was it? Beverly Hills Nannies.
Oh, boy.
That's
wow.
Horrible show.
I am psyched for this show coming up on Bravo this fall, I think, Silicon Valley. Have you seen any of this?
Yeah, that's what we need. We need to see a bunch of you and your sweaty friends.
It's the opposite, right? It's the opposite. It's the partying hard, actually doing any engineering work, just like floating ideas in nightclubs. And whatever, like, it's that side of Silicon Valley.
Great.
Which is, like, exactly what I want to see made fun of on TV. I think
so. It's like that dude from Napster that went to Facebook.
Right. Yep.
It's like and his douchey friends are going to be hanging out.
Yep, that is exactly what it is. Yeah, yeah.
This is an idea for an app, and it will let you find the nearest, I don't even know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. So from what I've seen from like the preview clips and stuff, that is what it's supposed to be.
All right. Well, that could be cool.
So, like the main setting of the show is this house that is split between like six, you know, quote unquote entrepreneurs, and it's this party house that's, you know, has this amazing.
We put six entrepreneurs in one house with only two pairs of pants.
It's got this like clifftop pool in San Francisco. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the rent is like $8,000 or no more than that, like $16,000 a month or something.
I'm sure.
And they're like, well, when you split it six ways, it's, you know, it's okay. So I think
if there's one thing that six entrepreneurs living under one roof will be, it's frugal.
Yeah.
You know that there's like so much massive D swinging going on in that house. There's no way that this ends well.
Yeah, I'm totally looking forward to it because I think it is gonna skewer exactly the right, those are the aspects of Silicon Valley that need skewering. So,
I agree.
Yep.
So my TV stuff has been pretty good lately. My new seasons on some of my favorite shows like Modern Family just started up again this week.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Have you seen that Imitator show that is basically Modern Family but on NBC?
No, please. I'm not watching that.
I forget what it's called. The New Normal.
Yeah, Doctor Who started up again, but I haven't watched that. But I didn't finish the last season yet.
Huh.
What else? I don't know. There's been a lot of really good stuff, but it's mainly been all about The Sopranos because I'm already up to season six, so I've been watching a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
But Oh, my movie. I saw this movie Prometheus. Do you know anything about this?
So, is it related to Alien or Aliens in any way?
Yeah. So it's Ridley Scott. And it was originally supposed to be a prequel to the Alien movies.
Okay.
But it kind of took on its own, I don't know, I want to say lore. Mm-hmm. It's essentially in the same universe as the Alien movies in terms of, you know, the company.
The company that sends them to the planet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the genesis of that. So...
Hmm.
The guy who starts it, now I can't remember the dude's name, obviously, but he's the guy who starts this company to send people out to all these different planets and everything. He's like, through like his little flashback episodes, he's like doing some, he's at like various archaeological dig sites, and they start finding star charts inside of caves all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And so then they zoom to like, you know, quote unquote present day, right? They've sent this ship out to this faraway planet. And the movie opens with this really dramatic scene where we see this like alien landscape, what appears to be an alien landscape with some humanoid being. It's really a beautiful movie to watch. Like it's visually, I think it's really fantastic. A lot of the elements of Alien and Aliens that were especially just riveting, like the H.R. Giger. Is it Giger or Geiger? I think it's Giger.
I don't know.
But his like art style is not as prevalent. I mean, it's still obviously influenced, but there's a scene in the movie Alien where there's this big, it looks like a chair, and like a like a giant telescope, if you will. And it's always been kind of like this thing. Anytime I ever watch Alien, every time I see that scene and that thing, I'm always like, man, I really wonder like what that's about. Like, what is that? And they actually explain that in this movie Prometheus, which is really cool. Huh. And you get to see kind of like how the xenomorph aliens, like their origins.
Cool.
Including facehuggers. And then there's a lot of people that are going to hate this movie. But there's a lot of stuff about it that is really cool, and I just saw you put that effing movie in. I hate you so much. Star Wars Holiday Special.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
it's not quite a prequel, but it's something that, and this is probably, I don't know if this is going to be as accurate as it could be, but I will say that if you enjoyed the fourth Alien movie or the third Alien movie, it's kind of on a par with those. It's not Alien or Aliens. Those I put in a higher tier. Yeah. I think they're better movies, but I still like the other ones.
If you're willing to tolerate a slightly lower bar of Alien,
Yeah, but you know, like production-wise and like the effects and everything, and the acting is good. There's nothing about it that's like inferior. It's just a different pace. It's a very slow movie. I'll say that. There's not a lot of really fast-paced action to it. But there's other. But there are a lot of movies that are like that that are exceptionally good. Like The Abyss is not a fast-paced movie, but it's a amazing movie and it's beautiful. Did you ever see The Abyss?
Have not.
It was made in like 1989. Is it James Cameron? You should watch The Abyss. I think you would really enjoy it a lot. It all takes place, it's about underwater. And there's some really cool science to it. There's this really cool, like a rebreather apparatus. So when people are diving at these really deep depths, they do like a liquid oxygen thing and they make people breathe in this like pink goo. It's crazy. Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. But, and there's like, nice. There's some interesting things that happen under the sea. And I'm not talking about that Little Mermaid. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. You know, I have a younger sister who's about your age. She's like 13.
Yeah, 12 or 13. Yep.
I have seen The Little Mermaid about a million times, and I've also seen Home Alone about a million times.
What? Not The Lion King?
No, not Lion King. It was for my sisters. It was all Little Mermaid and My Girl and Home Alone and what was the other Disney one? The Aladdin and I'm sure there were a couple other ones. Sleeping right. The one with Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that one. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast? That's the one with Beauty and the Beast.
Prometheus, the movie. Loved it. I thought it was great.
Wow. Okay. That's I would check it out. Good endorsement. Yeah.
Like I said, though, it is a little slow. But if you've ever been curious about that, the origins of things in that franchise of movies, I think they, even though it's not strictly a prequel, it definitely is related.
Mm. Cool. Right.
You've been watching The West Wing, though? You know, that's another show that Liz loves that show. She does a lot of, like, this Sopranos thing where I watch it all front to back. That's not something that I do very often. She does it all the time. And she's done that with The West Wing, like, three times in the course of our relationship.
Well, so I mean, I'm in this kind of groove with The West Wing where I am actually doing, you know, I'm watching a couple episodes every week, you know, or a couple of, well, so I'll you know, take an hour or two and watch an episode or two on a couple nights a week, basically. And so I'm gradually working my way through it. It's a really well put together series. You know, there's these great arcs that play out over the course of several episodes, you know, a season.
Have you watched it all before?
I've watched bits and pieces. When it was airing, I would watch bits and pieces.
When did Sorkin leave that show?
I didn't know he left before it stopped airing, actually.
Yeah, he got... That. Well, he was like, you know, the dude likes his mushrooms. He got, like, arrested at an airport with
really?
Mushrooms. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
And then he had to, like... I think he had to leave the show for a while. But I don't know when exactly that was. I love his new show, The Newsroom.
I've not seen that.
That's really good.
That sounds right up his alley. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think it's fantastic. But West Wing is what everyone knows him for.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it's very it's kind of inspiring in that so I've been playing a Michael Scott thing, you know, where you know, I'm really excited about The West Wing. So of course I come into work and I start walking and talking.
Walk with me. So,
Yeah, it's just like, you know, we're having a conversation. We would just be standing here. Let's just start walking.
Yeah, why not? Know?
Yeah, because why not?
Take a stroll. Take a stroll.
And it's amazing. It lends a sense of urgency to the conversation that you would not have otherwise. Because, you know, you're – and it also lends a sense of productivity. So you have productivity and urgency. So you have – because you are – no matter how much progress you're making in the conversation, you are at least making progress physically with your feet, right?
Yeah.
So there's some feeling of productivity there. And then there's a feeling of
urgency. The best part, though, I think, is that if you run out of toilet paper in your stall, the other person is right there to hand you some.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's, you got to think ahead.
Yep. in the modern workplace, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been really enjoying The West Wing. I'm mid season two. Season one ends with with a hell of an ending. So, it's I'm very glad that I have. I'm actually watching it on Amazon Instant Video, like Amazon Prime Instant Video.
Did you ever watch Sports Night?
Sports Night, no.
That was a pretty good show. One of my sisters was a huge fan of it. I've watched. I think it was only like two or three seasons, but it was a laugh track comedy. With a lot of actors that you have seen in other stuff, but it was an interesting show. I mean, it was about a sports desk at like, you know, an ESPN type situation, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But you know, so much of what they talk about was other things. It was a good show. I mean, the guy does really good television. I think Sorkin. I mean, I don't know what he's done that's bad.
Studio 60 on Sunset Strip.
Never saw it.
Yeah, it was.
Is it bad?
I thought it was fine, but a lot of people didn't like it.
Well, a lot of people don't like him. Like, there's
I
mean, some of the criticisms of the newsroomers that, you know, it's too Sorkin.
It's too Sorkin.
Yeah, I've heard that like several times.
That's a hell of a criticism,
right? Like, that's his defining characteristic he's pretty Sorkin.
He was too authentic to his own creative vision. Yeah, it was just really a tragedy.
He really clung to his ideals.
Yeah.
That's really terrible. You know, we got to break his spirit. It's all those mushrooms.
Speaking of creative visions.
Yeah.
Star Wars Holiday Special.
What is wrong with you? We've talked about this before.
But this time I've actually watched it. So have you seen it like start to finish? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Multiple times? Just once?
I had to have seen it multiple times. I watched it originally aired.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. I was born in the 70s. Damn it.
I know. Okay. So I attempted to watch this yesterday.
So you can see this. This is my shame. I'm drinking Diet Mountain Dew from 2-liter bottles.
I was going to comment, but I didn't know how much of that you wanted to reveal to the audio listeners.
No, that's fine. They know I'm hideous.
I could not. I could not watch it. Like, I had to. Yes.
I'm so surprised to hear this because everyone says this is such a great show. The Star Wars Holiday Special is supposed to be one of the most amazing things that ever got broadcast on television.
So here's the thing. I enjoy watching bad decisions in media, right? Like, I enjoy watching things that should not have been made.
Well, who doesn't? That's why I like watching the Beverly Hills Nannies.
Right, exactly. So I totally thought it was going to be one of those things. And there are some segments where it is, but most of it is just incredibly terrible and boring and absolutely counter to everything that Star Wars was and potentially is.
The only way you can watch this acceptably is to get the riff tracks.
I may have to do that. Yeah,
actually
I can make it all the way through it.
you will be able to make it through with the riff tracks with them as your guide, with them as your Sherpa. You require a Star Trek or a Star Wars Sherpa. I can't believe I just did that to get you through all of that terrible.
Yeah,
and help you find the humor in it.
Okay, all right. I may have to do that. As I said, I attempted to watch it yesterday. Did not go well, so...
I would never watch it without the riff tracks. I'll tell you that right now. That and Footloose.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I mean, I paired it with some Kahlua, and that helped.
I made a Caucasian for the dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Anyway, So the other news is I was watching that Star Wars Holiday Special in all its glorious transferred from VHS quality.
Yeah.
On a new TV.
I had to look hideous.
What?
I'm looking at the specs on your TV, and I know that the Star Wars Holiday Special... I just did it again.
Yeah.
The Star Wars Holiday Special, all copies of that movie are terrible.
Yeah.
So I know that on this particular television, the specs of which I am... feverishly like drooling at had to have been absolutely horrible. Like, the artifacts had to have been bad.
Yeah,
every jitter had to have looked like a seizure.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm realizing I probably should have done now, which I did not do, which is use my TV's 3D upscaling feature upscale that to 3D and watch it with glasses on. That that really would have been the way to take in the Star Wars Christmas special or Star Wars Holiday special.
Probably have an aneurysm.
Yeah. So okay,
you bought a 3D television. You're
here's
a moron.
Here's the thing. Here's the, right. Okay. Here's the deal. If I could have,
oh okay,
I would have bought a non-3D, ideally non-smart TV television. I would have bought the dumbest television possible.
What's a smart TV? I don't even know what that is.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
So if I had my way, right?
If you had your druthers?
The problem is today's high-end televisions are 3D. Like, they just are. You know, outside of extremely expensive, like, $5,000 TVs.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be high-end.
Okay, fine. Today's you know, high-end consumer televisions are 3D. Like, 3D is just a standard feature on high-end consumer televisions.
All right.
So, you know, this TV has great picture quality. It's a Samsung PN60 E6500, for those of you following along at home. There will be a link in the show notes. It's fantastic picture quality. Really, really great. It's a plasma, so it gets very deep blacks and, you know, really, really nice.
Are you at all concerned that you won't be able to go back?
Go back to what? To non-3D?
to non deep blacks.
Oh, to non...
That's my big my biggest concern about the upcoming presidential race is that I cannot go back.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that we've had, you know, President Obama.
Yeah. I will say, I don't think I could go back to a modern, like, uniformly backlit LCD TV.
Hmm.
Because
I think mine's my TV is not super huge or anything. Like, we have a 32-inch LED, so, and I like that a lot. It's a Samsung, and the picture's good. I do wish it was a little bit bigger, and I wouldn't mind having 1080p, because mine's just 720p, but yeah. I don't really, you know, I watch stuff on Apple TV, which is also 720p, so I really don't care. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 60 inches would be pretty monstrous for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I'm playing games on the PlayStation, that's when I want a bigger TV.
Yeah.
It's never when I'm watching a television show or a movie.
So I did try one 3D game.
Really?
I played Uncharted 3. I played the first. Yeah, I played the first about three chapters of Uncharted 3
How was it?
3D. So
that game has a lot of, like, camera swing. Is it, like, nauseating?
No, it was fine. And the 3D was good. The issue is basically just you lose detail and clarity, which can actually be a good thing in a game, especially one that's rendered at 720p, because it means that you lose a lot of the, like, jagged edges and stuff. Like, you just don't see that stuff, which is nice. But at the same time, you take those glasses off, and all of a sudden everything looks way sharper, way more vivid, you know, just like, it's like, oh, wow, here's the actual scene, not the... like 3D, you know, scene, you know, like, the 3D glasses. So
I think I would have been a lot more impressed with 3D television if they had introduced it so that it was like a hologram. Like, I think 3D TV needs to be something that you project into, like, the middle of your living room.
Something so that happens in real space rather than
than, like, on a panel. Like, I don't know. I don't really get excited about it.
Well, I mean, that is a harder problem, right? Technically.
Of course it is, but it's also, like, what would actually be interesting about 3D?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, otherwise, like, you know, I've watched Godzilla with the red and blue glasses. Like, I'm familiar with the concept. But, you know, I don't think that, like, the 3D television is really that big of a leap from that, is it?
Yeah. I mean... Well, so I have not, other than trying it out initially, I have not really used the 3D at all.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's fine. Like, as I said, the only reason it has 3D...
It's because you can't get it without it. Yeah.
It's because you can't get it without it. Yeah. Similarly, you cannot get a high-end consumer TV now without smart TV features.
Now, what the hell is that?
So it's basically apps for your TV. So,
but they're bad apps. They're not like Apple TV.
Exactly. They're like terrible apps. So it's like Samsung has their. Well, you know, so my TV is a Samsung. So the highlighted app, the app where if you click the smart TV button, the app that's front and center is Family Story. Which I have not opened.
What?
Because I'm afraid if I open it, it's going to like start popping up at random times. Just I don't even know, right? Like I don't. I do not want anything to do with Family Story.
That sounds a little strange.
So, and here's the other thing, right? I've got the remote right here. There is a button, this button right here, which I know you can't see if you're listening to the podcast. Our podcast listeners are out of luck.
So Alan is currently holding up a remote control with a button, and it says Family Story on the button. That's ridiculous.
There is a dedicated button on this television remote for the Family Story app.
Hey, tell you what, this would be great radio. Is the TV in the room with you?
Yes.
Can you hit the Family Story button and tell us what happens?
No, I will not. I do not plan to ever hit the Family Story button because I am afraid that it is going to do something persistent and lasting in my TV configuration.
Do other apps do that?
I have no idea. I have not opened any apps because I'm afraid of the same thing.
Wow, so you're like taking an approach to technology that is very similar to your grandparents.
Exactly. It is, I want nothing to do with this smart TV newfangled business.
This TV has shenanigans all over it.
Yep, exactly. And I will not touch it because...
My rabbit ears and my replay TV and I'll be fine.
Yep, exactly. Give me my Xbox and my PS3 and I'll be fine. That's all the smart TV I need.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I don't know why, I shouldn't say that. I know why they are interested in putting and like pushing out these little embedded in the firmware apps. It's because they can control it that way. But the problem is that they're the ones responsible for it, and they've never been good at that. Like, that stuff always sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Samsung making their own apps is just, it's not going to be good. It's going to be Family Story. So.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, it really sounds good.
Good branding, too. Family Story. Like, you don't even know what it is. Like, you're right. Like, if you hear that, how could you possibly know what that product or service even is?
I don't know, but I don't want
to. Is it like a photo album thing, or is it like a book?
I think it's like you have your whole family has Samsung TVs, and you can, like, share a story between...
That's like that. It's like that commercial with the Galaxy S3, where, like... Yeah, we have near-field communications. We can bump our phones and, like, trade playlists. And I'm like, you've never done that in your entire life, and you never will. It's like, we can send photos to each other from our Samsung TVs that we have to have an adapter cable and a Samsung camera to upload. Like, come on.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, that is a little sketchy.
So the TV, it's as far as displaying video, the TV is fantastic. As far as being a
pretty much
smart
have to be
TV,
the 60-inch plasma.
as far as the you know, top billing features of the TV as are detailed on the box,
it looks like they do TV. Like some of the smart TV apps that I'm seeing, at least like on Amazon, it looks like they have, like, you know, the Amazon streaming stuff that way.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I have an Xbox, a PS3.
I would very much prefer to do all that with the Apple TV for the same reason. But
yeah.
I can see the appeal because, like, you know, my dad has a Blu-ray player, and I really doubt that he owns more than one Blu-ray disc. Like, that format pretty much is dead anyways, right? Like, did you see there was an article I read this week about Blu-ray where they basically said, like, Blu-ray beat HD DVD. Massive grats, because no one cares anymore. Like, it's all moved online. Like, the Netflix stuff, the Apple stuff, like, it's the Amazon stuff, everyone, and the Google Play stuff now with your stuff. Like, all of that has been more interesting than Blu-ray. And everyone is so critical when Steve Jobs said, we're not going to bother putting a Blu-ray in our products. And people were like, well, why not? And he's like, because we don't think it's going anywhere. Like, why would we invest in this technology when we think that we have something already better that's available now?
Right.
Which was, just streaming the damn thing.
Yeah.
It's very weird. I mean, it's good. I think it'll become like the person that wrote the article said, and I would be inclined to agree that Blu-ray is a fantastic format for, like, video files, like collectors. So, like, the people that liked Laserdisc, they're probably the best market for something like Blu-ray.
Maybe. So, but, you know, what about in, whatever, 5-6 years when all of a sudden everything is in 5K instead of 1080p and, you know, Blu-ray doesn't, or 4K or whatever the format is, you know? Like, there is potential for a world beyond what Blu-ray supports. You know.
Yeah, but we survived 480p.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, I don't know, in my personal experience, Blu-ray has been good for discs from Netflix. Like, I'm getting discs in the mail from Netflix anyway. Might as well pay an extra $2 a month and have them be Blu-ray discs.
Yeah, so I probably wouldn't bother, to be honest.
So that they're higher quality.
There's a few things that, like, some of the Soderbergh movies, like the Oceans movies, I own those on Blu-ray, but they're very visually, how do I even explain that? Like, the presentation on those movies, like the production value and like the graphical quality of them. I definitely want as much of that as possible.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of movies that I really, would notice a big difference. I mean, I don't know. I have on Blu-ray, The Princess Bride. I have that on Blu-ray. Oh, Lost. My wife is, she's like a Lost scholar.
I actually thought about getting Lost on Blu-ray.
It's definitely worth, I'll tell you this, the season one set on Blu-ray, what's really great about it is the initial, what they do is they let you stop the episode to show how scenes were produced.
Wow.
So like in real time, they'll transfer between the broadcast of the show and then show you the set design stuff at the same, that's really cool. Wow. And like, that's the kind of thing that I really like about it. But
yeah, that's elaborate, huh?
Yeah, that's actually been like the most impressive thing about the format, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, cool. All right, so Emery, are you? Do you have a degree in dentistry?
I do not.
Okay, I don't either. But
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Yeah, there you go. So, but clearly we are qualified to provide you, the listener, with our dentistry recommendations, or not really. This isn't really dentistry, tooth care recommendations. We're not talking about like pulling teeth or anything. We're mostly talking about toothbrushes. Toothbrushes, not teeth brushes. Yes.
Oh, did I do that?
No, I did that. Right. No. I did that in my head.
You idiot.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Anyway, okay, here's the deal. I recently, purchased a new toothbrush, or I purchased several of these, mostly due to their incredible reviews on Amazon. The other day,
these are not fancy toothbrushes.
Not really.
I mean, they're not like, you know, there's not like lasers involved.
No, they're not high tech toothbrushes, but I will say they are definitely fancier than your average toothbrush.
Okay.
So I was out of toothbrushes and I needed some more. So I went to Amazon and these were by far the highest rated ones I could find. They are called the Dr. Collins Perio Toothbrush.
Ooh, that sounds like something I could use. I've got like gum problems.
Yeah. See, that's, I think, what these are intended for. They are super soft, because it's this polyester, bristle that is like very soft to the touch, but is actually effective at cleaning.
I usually need something a little more firm, though.
See, you think you need that, right? But give one of these a try.
Why am I wrong?
Well, so you.
Well, other than the obvious reason that I'm just wrong.
Yeah. I mean, so you basically what I'm telling you is the feedback you were receiving. The feedback you think you need to be receiving from the harder toothbrush to give you that sense of, yes, my teeth are clean now,
yeah,
is deceiving you. Like, you do.
Well,
not
because
actually...
I get like, you know, that's harder. This is so disgusting, but I'm not great at my teeth. Like, I'm bad at flossing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad at just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a periodontist. I actually had to have gum grafts a few years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had like a lot of like procedures done, and I don't know that I'm doing a very good job of keeping up on it. And part of that is like, I don't feel like I don't see how softer bristles are going to get tartar off of my teeth.
Well, so that's the thing. They are softer, but they are also equally effective, if not more effective, at cleaning and removing tartar.
So weird.
I know, right? I was blown away. So it, they're super awesome. It's, you know, very gentle on your gums while also being very effective. So
okay.
I was quite impressed. And as an extra bonus, two things. So there's this wonderful review on the Amazon listing where this person complains about the fact that these toothbrushes arrived and they had the name of a dentist on them, and like how unprofessional this is that like it's like what they grabbed these out of some dentist's office and you know and shipped them to them, right? Yes, they have a name.
But meanwhile, it's like Dr. Scholl's.
No, they have a name of a dentist on them. The name of the dentist is Dr. Collins Perio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like Dr. Scholl's. The foot inserts.
Yeah.
It's because it's the name of the product, you horse's ass.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't
That's great.
Yeah, I thought that was because when I read the review, I'm like, oh wow, they must have gotten some like random
demo.
You know, yeah, something that was shipped from like Amazon Marketplace or something. And then I got the actual product, and yeah, right there on the toothbrush says Dr. Collins Perio. Yeah,
no, he's just a dunce.
Yep, exactly. So,
have you used their toothpaste also?
No, I didn't know they had a toothpaste.
I'm on the Amazon thing, and
I'm an Aquafresh toothpaste user. So.
I think that's what my wife uses. So right now, I have like three different toothbrushes that I use, mm-hmm. and they're all in the rotation. I have a Sonicare.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, you know, putting a buzzsaw in your mouth, right? Like it's like you have to pull start it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's gasoline powered and you got to like, well, and that works really well, except that sometimes it's a little too tedious and I prefer just to use like a manual toothbrush.
Uh-huh.
So I have one of those, and that's like, I don't know, like a reach cross action something or other. And then I have like this, really big broad one that I have like downstairs at my office. And then I have one at work that's like just a generic toothbrush. But it's really, really for me, I've been of the opinion that frequency, repetition, and routine is more important than the actual brush itself. But
oh, yeah. Oh, that's certainly true.
Yeah, but I definitely, you know, like I've got like some sensitivity, and part of that was that I used to have a tongue piercing, so I've actually shattered some of the enamel on my teeth. That was years ago.
All I'm hearing is someone who could definitely use Dr. Collins Perry.
All right, are they sponsoring the show now? Is that the
yeah? That's
all right.
I didn't tell you, but yeah, that is.
It looks like it, on Amazon at least it's a 3-pack for $10. That's not bad.
Yeah, no. As I said, they're not.
Do they hold up pretty well? I mean, they are so soft and this different material. Like, have you? Do you think they're going to?
I've not been using. I've only been using them for a couple of weeks. So, okay. I couldn't. I mean, so far they're holding up better than my previous toothbrushes, which were just standard reach, like medium strength toothbrushes or whatever, or medium firmness. So, yeah, they seem fairly durable, but I don't have a long term report for you.
I'm really lousy at the dentistry thing. You know, I don't even want to talk about it now. But I had a periodontist that I actually saw when I lived in Rhode Island, and I loved it.
Huh.
I mean, he was amazing. I really liked him a lot. His name was Dr. Pizer, and I would recommend him to anybody in Rhode Island, like without a doubt. He was a gentleman and a scholar, and his like the techs that work in his office were outstanding.
Cool.
Big fan. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Other things you are a big fan of. We got Rim here on the...
I thought it was hilarious that Rim had a outage for the BlackBerry email service the day of the iPhone 5 launch. Like, if that's not the most telling of experiences...
Well, were they correlated in any way? Like, is there any reason an iPhone 5 launch would stress the BlackBerrys?
No. No, no, no.
Okay.
Other than all of the analysts on Wall Street talking about how amazing the iPhone 5 is, and how everyone on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. was sending messages to each other trying to get their own iPhone 5. That's the only thing I can come up with.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous.
Yeah. Huh. And then, let's see. And then this other story about the RIM stock performance or RIM earnings performance.
So you know that scene in Arrested Development? This is so awesome. When they're watching, like, they have a, who is it? They have like that Jim Cramer guy. It's not really Jim Cramer.
Right.
But there's someone.
Is it not? I think it's he actually.
Is it Jim Cramer who does it?
Yeah, he does a cameo.
Oh, that's right. So when he upgrades the Bluth company to do not buy. So that's
and then
like
they celebrate.
Yeah, and they celebrate. They celebrate the fact that their stock has been elevated to do not buy. And that is exactly what happened to RIM this week because they posted a big second quarter loss, but it wasn't as big as they expected. So there was much rejoicing. So there are plenty of drunks in Winnipeg tonight or wherever the hell they're at. I have no idea. But there's a I think it'll be great.
I mean, I just, it's amazing to be, like we have been front and center to this gradual, painful decline of RIM. And
there are a lot of people who are really psyched about this new software that they've got coming out next year, though.
Really?
Well, I shouldn't say that. I should say that there's a lot of RIM developers. There's a lot of BlackBerry developers who are way pumped.
That I would expect that they, you know, they would be thinking, okay, we need to do something crazy. We need to do something that's gonna, you know, make a difference, right?
That would help them.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's just, you know, there's really one thing at this point that they do really well, and that is sell a smartphone with a keyboard.
That's true.
Their keyboards are the best. If you've ever used a device with a hardware keyboard on it. They all universally suck. There was the Sony Ericsson P910 that was absolutely the worst in the world. There was the Nokia E70, the Nokia E90. Mm. There was the 9500. There was a bunch of Nokia Series 80 devices that had like just hideous, hideous keyboards. But the BlackBerrys have always been really solid.
I have no idea how we've...
The keyboards, though. What?
We've someone else joined our hangout.
Yeah, it was a friend of mine.
Oh, I just ejected her. you can apologize for her. I mean, I was not aware that anyone could join this.
Yeah, of course, we had this last time too. We had Eric Rice.
That's true, but he did not show up in like the presenters section.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, okay. Let's see what else we got here. The iPhone 5 and iPhone and iOS 6. Any updates on that stuff?
iOS 6 is awesome. I love it. I've upgraded my iPad and my iPhone to it, and of course the ones we're getting tomorrow have iOS 6. But I think it's a great OS. I think it's fantastic. In fact,
you've been able to get to work okay.
Yeah, and I really love the VIP thing. I thought that I wouldn't. I thought it was going to be like a really dumb idea, but here's why I like it. I also really dig the Do Not Disturb thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. But the VIP thing I like because I hate email notifications. But there's like, I want to say two or three people that I actually want to know when they email me. You know, like one, well, more than that. So there's like my six people. Have I told you about my six people?
No.
I'm setting up this thing where I'm having a meeting once a week with one of six people.
Hmm.
And they're like, some of them are like, you know, colleagues and some of them are friends. Basically, they're like the people that I want to absolutely make sure that I'm like keeping in contact with for
sure.
A variety of
yeah.
reasons. So one's like a really good friend who's also a parent. And then one is like my BFF, Eric, mm-hmm. things like that. So I've got these six people. So I like knowing when they're emailing me
mm-hmm.
And they don't send me a lot of email. So, you know, that's helpful. And then there's my boss. There's my landlord, my wife, and then a few selected people in my family who don't abuse the privilege. So when they send me an email up until 10 o'clock at night, right, because I have the Do Not Disturb thing,
right.
I get a ding. And I know when I get that ding that it's an email that I actually would give a rip about to go read.
Hmm.
And I think that's a really well-executed thing.
That is a cool idea, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the Do Not Disturb thing could be done a lot better. Like, iOS does not have, like, really robust profiles. So one thing that Nokia Series 60 did really well, and I should say it's like one of the few things they did really well, was this concept of having multiple profiles. So you could have like, you know, normal, and you could have like meeting, and then do not disturb, and then silent, and then vibrate. You know, like you'd have all these, and then you could program them. So like you could even do like geofencing on it. So like through third-party software, when you got to the house, it would change your profile from one to the other. Mm-hmm. So your calendar, you know, just basically things like that. That was a little too fiddly for me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really like that much granularity. So something like how Apple's doing it is pretty great, I think.
Cool.
I've been really happy with it. And people are complaining about the Maps thing, but I haven't noticed any problems with it. And in fact, I really liked the Maps, and I've enjoyed being able to use the like the fly-through thing. I thought it was pretty cool.
Nice. Let's see. Oh, and then as far as switching to Verizon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm moving from AT&T finally. Their service has steadily declined in the 2 years that I've been a subscriber. At least in my market, it's just been horrible. And like the 3G data service has been absolutely hideous. And I think I've talked about this before. Like it's actually mathematically impossible for me to exceed a 2 gigabyte plan.
Right.
Like yeah. The amount of bandwidth that I get, like I cannot use that much data.
Yeah.
And so I'm paying a lot for something that I can't even use. And then when I really need it to work, because I, you know, I almost have ubiquitous Wi-Fi everywhere I go throughout the workday. So when I'm on campus, I always have it, just about. When I'm on the bus, I have it. When I'm at home, I have it. And so when I'm away, that's when I really need that service to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it just so happens that now it'll be on LTE, which will be faster than my 50 megabit cable modem. You know, like that in and of itself is a bit much, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's probably about it, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably about it.
That'll be it for this episode of the Hell Yeah Show.
Say your sorry to Sam for kicking.
Yeah, I was just gonna say our second episode using the Google Plus Hangout feature, so we're still kind of getting the hang of this. Get that? Yeah.
That was not an apology. I want you to actually apologize.
I was just acknowledging my pun before moving on with the apology.
Well, let's hear the apology.
So I apologize for all of the issues that may or may not have happened during this recording, including the ejection, the unwarranted hostile ejection.
Thank you.
Of Samantha from this hangout. So I do apologize for that. But the you know, podcast and everything is available in its normal form, so you don't have to worry about that. Just if you want to see us do this live. Which is really exciting. Just keep an eye on the Hell Yeah Google Plus page or either of our individual Google Plus pages.
I'm even wearing pants.
Yeah, and then you can see Emery wearing pants.
Yeah,
which is really a trip.
You can't see my pants, man.
I know. That's what you think. All right, that will do it for this episode of the Hell Yeah Show. If you want to contact us, the email address is show@hellyeah.com. The web address is show.hellyeah.com.
Or you can reach us on the Twitter machine, twitter.com/hellyeahshow. Send us a tweet, @hellyeahshow.
All right.
Sounds good. Can also see our Google Plus page.
Google Plus page plus the Hell Yeah Show, I think.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Search not the best promotion we've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be better next time. All right, that'll do it. And we will see you probably in 2 weeks-ish.
Peace out.